Serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler. Brought to you by this local station and its sponsors. And presented everywhere on the air and online by Paul Everett's RV Country. With 8 locations in 5 western states.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, celebrating all of those who have served on this Veterans Day weekend and hoping that that won't be limited to this weekend. The 75th anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor is coming up on December 7th. All 5 living survivors of the USS Arizona will be there on Oahu to honor their shipmates, so many of whom remain entombed aboard that sunken vessel. Did you know that 23 sets of brothers died aboard the Arizona? Just imagine what those families went through. And after the 1,177 who died on the Arizona, more men perished on the battleship USS Oklahoma than any other ship there, 429 of them. The next voice you're going to hear is Richard Swede Artley, who served aboard the Oklahoma with his brother, Daryl.
We had just come back from breakfast. We thought we had something that run into us when the first torpedo hit. But the Navy says they're absolutely positive that 8 torpedoes hit the Oklahoma and very likely 10.
How did you experience that? Where were you? And
I was in the steering room aft. I was just below the waterline. There were 8 of us in there. We had lights for about 10 minutes. Then the lights all went out. Of course, the ship turned over to port 151 degrees. Just a little bit of her bottom sticking out of the water.
And we've seen those famous pictures of the Oklahoma on December 7th. I have to ask, I haven't talked to anybody who was through what you were through on that day, to be trapped like you were. As those torpedoes are hitting, what did that feel like? What did that sound like? And did you have any idea where you were or what was going on?
Well, I knew where we were, but I didn't know that we had gotten into a war. We just tried to keep from getting hit by things flying through the air when the ship was turning over to port. And I didn't do a very good job because we had a guy named Woody Havens, was a heavyweight wrestler. Mm-hmm. He was a second-class quartermaster. He had all kinds of equipment down there, dumbbells and all that stuff, you know, to train on. And one of his dumbbells, I don't know why, I could never make myself understand what the heck I was doing in the telephone booth. But I had just stepped out and one of his dumbbells came down and hit me in the leg.
Did it break your leg?
No, it didn't break it, but I had 13 bones in there that sprung loose or broke loose. There was a line there, oh God, I don't know how long it was, of guys on gurneys waiting to go in the hospital to get an operation. And I kept thinking, well, when they get down to the door to put me in there, I'll just tell them no again. And I couldn't say a word. I just couldn't say a word. And they gave me a spinal injection. Doctor, every time he'd find a bone, he'd come around that little screen head in front of me and tell me I've got another one, you know. And he did a pretty good job.
So this is all happening on December 7th, 1941, as a nation is about to realize that it's at war, and you were realizing it before pretty much anyone else. I mean, the very first torpedoes were hitting your ship, would sink your ship, and you're trapped inside your ship as it's turning over. When did you realize that you were trapped, and what was going on inside that room? What kinds of things were being said? Set that scene for us if you can.
I didn't know we couldn't open any of the doors in the steering aft, but they were all locked from the other side. If I'd have known that, I would have gone nuts. And so we just, hell, I slept some of the time down there. And the water was still coming in. There was a fresh air blower coming into our room because it was hot down there. Oh, God, it was hot.
So these air vents are letting water in. You can't get out. So the room is filling more and more with water, less and less with air, and you guys are running out of time.
I think so. I talked to Jim Bounds one time, and I asked him, just a short time before he died, I said, Jim, how much time do you think we had left down there before the compartment was completely full of water? And he said, I think maybe 15 or 20 minutes would have done it.
And how long were you down there?
Well, we got out about 6 p.m. Monday night.
And this happened before 8 a.m. Sunday morning.
The ship had already been hit with all those torpedoes and already turned over. And they drilled holes wherever they had to get to us. We were very fortunate. We had two seamen on there. They'd gone to quartermaster school in the States before. They had just joined the ship about 2 weeks before the war started. And they knew Morse code. Somehow they got to talking to some of these people. And they finally told him, don't talk to us anyway. We know where you are and we're coming as fast as we can. When they did get down to us, they drilled these holes. They said, get ready to come out. When you get ready to take you out of here, just stiffen out. Because they had both sides of the places where they'd had those holes drilled. They just passed us out of the ship. And there's a Liberty boat down there, and one of the guys, George DeLong, he said, I was sure hoping I could go to Mass tonight. And this guy says, man, this is not Sunday night, this is Monday night.
You guys didn't even know how long you'd been down there.
I didn't have a clue.
So I want to get this right. So you would have been down there about 34 hours. If this didn't, you weren't out of there until 6 o'clock Monday night. You were trapped inside a sunken ship, running out of air to breathe, water filling up this hold. You were trapped in there for 34 hours.
That's right.
But you're talking about it like it's no big deal.
Well, it was a big deal, all right, because I knew if we didn't get out of there, we're done.
Did it help to have so many others in the room? You think it would have been harder if it was one or two guys, but since you had?
I think that we all pretty good friends, and we all talked to each other down there.
You said you slept for some of the time. 34 hours is a long time. I'm sure a lot of things went through your mind. Were you wondering where your brother might be?
Well, I knew where he was. He was in CIC, that's Combat Information Center. That's right amidships. I was almost sure in my own mind that some of those torpedoes got that CIC.
And I want to talk about your brother more, but I'm really interested in how you survived those 34 hours and kept your wits about you. Was there anything that someone said or anything that was happening down there that you think buoyed your guys' spirits or made you believe that you could and would be rescued?
We all talked very positively. They'd get to us some way. Lieutenant Commander Hobby was the ship's first lieutenant. When a disaster happens on a ship, the first lieutenant takes over. The captain doesn't have a thing to say. And he kept talking to us. And when we got down where we could talk to him verbally, we got our spirits up and we thought, now he's going to really get us out of here. And by golly, they did.
You're just 19 years old at the time. Were you too young and dumb to be scared?
Oh, I was scared. Oh, yeah. And you know, I'll tell you something very odd. And I think this is the truth. Of the 34 that they got out of that ship by just drilling these holes and getting them out through escape ways that way, I'm the last one that's still alive.
There are other survivors of the ship, but not other survivors of the guys who were trapped.
Yeah, the 429 were killed, but there were only 34 that were trapped where they had no way of getting out. I can't understand why we were so lucky.
And I'm sure after you got out of there, and 34 hours probably seemed like 34 days in some respects, but after you got out of there, you must have been awfully grateful to the guys who got you out. Did you have a chance to find them, to thank them, to figure out their story?
No, tell you the truth, I didn't. Not even one of them.
If you had, what do you think you would have said?
I would have, if I had a brain in my head, I'd at least said thank you.
Well, you probably had plenty on your mind at that point because
they got us out. They only got two more out. They were up forward, way up forward, but they didn't get it in time. That was the last two they got out.
I would have to imagine, I'm making an assumption here. I would imagine that in all the years since, that any time you see one of these catastrophes and they're searching for survivors, you probably want them to keep on going, huh?
Yeah, you bet. You bet.
When you see that, when you see Oklahoma City, or 9/11 and these situations where the odds are long to find any survivors and they keep searching and they find someone. Does that bring it all back to you? Is it like living your experience all over again?
In some ways, it does. Makes me that much more thankful that they didn't give up on us.
From what I understand, you guys weren't just sitting around down there during all of this. There were a lot of things you tried to do to keep the water out.
That fresh air blower, we took a mattress off. They were only about 30 inches in diameter. And we rolled that up and stuffed it in there. It was a hell of a job doing it, too, because the water was coming in there pretty hard. Then we got clothes and skivvies and everything like that. We just damn near stopped that water coming in.
And that probably saved your life.
Absolutely, yeah.
One of many things that saved your life that day, and there are all kinds of reasons since then to be thankful for that. But I'm curious what the aftermath of it was for you, because you've just been through this ordeal that very few people in the history of the world can understand what it's like to be in. Did it take a while for it to sink into you what you'd been through, and how did you cope with it in the aftermath?
Well, I really can't answer that question. Jim Bounds, that guy was, they took the Helen, it had taken two or three torpedoes. They had taken her there to the Navy Yard to have her fixed up. And the first night we got in there, Jim says, "Let's go ashore, Artley." "No, I ain't going ashore tonight. Not tonight." "Well, by gosh," she says, "I am." So I said, "Well, go ahead." And the next morning I was going to breakfast. He says, "Hey, sweetie, what do you think happened last night?" I said, "God, man, I couldn't, somebody from Mississippi, I couldn't guess what they did." "What'd you do?" He says, "I got married." "You knew her a long time, huh?" "Yeah, a few hours," he said. "And you know, when they had that, we got the memorial for the Oklahoma finally was finished and up. My wife said to me, she said, "You get yourself on a plane and get over there." So I did. And who do you think I ran into first that I knew real well? Jim Bounds and his wife, Ruby. The one he married in, over there in San Francisco that first night he went ashore.
I guess it was a pretty wise decision he made after all.
Yeah, I guess it was.
Back in 1941, in the aftermath of the Oklahoma sinking, and obviously you get off of it, and you're rescued, and you start to realize, wow, our ship wasn't the only one. And in terms of the history, the Oklahoma losing 429 men that day was second only to the Arizona, which had close to 1,200 killed on December 7th. How did you swallow all of that? And when did you find out for sure that your brother was one of the casualties that day?
No one ever did come and tell me. I just had to accept that as I know Daryl didn't get through it.
Have you ever stopped and wondered what Daryl would have done with his life if it hadn't ended on December 7th, 1941?
Daryl was one hell of a baseball player, good pitcher. He was on the Oklahoma team, and I'm sure he would have gone into pitching in the big leagues sooner or later. He was a terrific pitcher.
And I've talked to a lot of guys who didn't lose siblings in the war, but lost friends. And a lot of them felt like the life they led, that they couldn't take anything for granted. They had to stay positive and move forward, because if their friends had lived, that's what they would have done. Did you ever feel anything along those lines, feeling like you had to live in a way that would have honored your brother's sacrifice?
I tried to. Probably didn't do a very good job. I used to think about him all the time, and Francis and Jack.
Your boyhood friends.
Daryl and those two friends, we'd known them all our lives. Now they're all dead.
And Mr. Artley is gone now, too. He passed away shortly after that conversation was recorded in 2011. His story is one I know I'll never forget, and that's the message every Pearl Harbor survivor I've ever met has echoed. Never forget. Remember Pearl Harbor. Keep America alert. We're out of time, but thank you for listening to Hometown Heroes. Make sure to take time and say thank you to all the veterans in your life. I'm Paul Leffler, hoping you'll remember on Veterans Day and every day that freedom is not free.